All right. So I'm going to pray too because I'm really nervous. We've prayed a lot this morning. That's okay. All right. dear Lord, thanks for today. Thanks for everyone here. Guys, pray as I'm talking right now. I wouldn't be too nervous. It's been hard figuring this out. So I just pray that your words would be clear. And yeah, just pray for everyone here that they would feel your presence also. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. So I think you guys have Bibles already. They're around. So we're doing today Matthew 7, 7 through 12, continuing the Sermon on the Mount. So once you guys get it, would someone mind reading it? Any volunteers? Colton, you're going to read it? Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Seven through 12.
Ask it and wait. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son will ask him to pray? Which of you, if his son asks his bread, who will give him the word then to you are evil? Wait, I can't read red.
It's okay. 7 through 12.
7 through 12? Alright. Ask, seek, knock. Okay. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive. Who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask for children? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets.
Well done, well done. Thank you, Colton and CJ. All right, we got it read. That's not important, right? All right, so going through this passage, it's been pretty hard for me to figure out what it means and kind of how it relates to our lives. I think that kind of at first glance, it's like, oh, ask and you receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will open. It kind of sounds like God's just going to give you whatever you want if you ask him enough, right? But I don't think it's saying that God is a genie in a bottle, baby. You can't just rub him the right way, honey. And he's not begging you to come and let him out. So, yeah. God's not a genie. This passage is not saying ask God for enough things and he will give them to you. Question. See if you guys have been paying attention all summer. So what has one of the themes been running through the whole Sermon on the Mount? What's something that we've talked about pretty much every time? God, you're right. You know I'm going to talk about God this morning. Give you a hint, starts with an H. No. That starts with an H too. Starts with an H. Ends with an art. Heart. Yes. Yeah. So pretty much what God cares about is the heart, and kind of all he really cares about is the state of your heart. And, so basically, the heart is what matters. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, how does the heart relate to this passage? What are we asking for when we're asking for our hearts to be taken care of? And what are we asking for and looking for and knocking for when we want our heart to be sustained? I think that would be love. I think that everyone kind of wants love and their heart needs love to kind of, be sustained. So it's kind of, you know, the audience on the Sermon Mount are people that I followed Jesus up to the top of a mountain, and they're sitting around him, and they're listening to him talk about how you can get closer to God, and what pleases God, and what matters to God. So when they're thinking about, oh, what am I going to ask for, and what am I going to seek, whose door am I going to be knocking on? It's not, how much food can I get? How much, can I get a new mule? Or can I get some food, some new linen robes? I don't think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for how can they please their Heavenly Father? How can he sustain them? So I think that what this passage is talking about, and I think that what it's getting at when it's talking about what we're asking God for, is God's love. And I think it's, God's love and love that we get from community and how we long for it and ask God for it a lot. This is something that I've struggled with a lot, receiving love from God and receiving love from people in my community. I'm going to pretty much tell you about all my life and my struggles with love and God. I'm going to be talking about this, being vulnerable. So I just ask that you guys not be vulnerable with each other, or you don't even have to take notes on what I'm saying, but I just ask that you be vulnerable with God and kind of be open with him about how you felt in the past about receiving love from him and receiving love from your community. If you're angry, it's okay to be angry. If you're frustrated, it's okay to be frustrated. I think that God tells us that to be honest with him, and if that's how you feel, tell him. I think it's important. My experience with God's love does start in Spain, so I guess that kind of makes sense. Grew up Christian, blah, blah, blah. We moved to Spain, and it was really hard because, I was surrounded by people who I didn't know. I didn't really speak their language. And then I actually moved to an American missionary school, which it should be like, oh, here's some people who are going to love me, right? They're missionary kids. But no, it was actually a lot harder than anything I experienced before. It was really small. It was really clicky. And so, it was junior high. I was kind of best friends with this girl for a while, and then she found a new best friend. And so I was kind of hanging around being lonely most of the time. Good times. But I think that in that time of being really lonely and kind of, I remember this one night where I don't remember if I was crying or not, but I was really miserable. And I was like, I didn't even think I was praying, but I think I realized for the first time that God was there for me. And he did love me, even though I felt like no one else really did at the time. So I think that was my first experience with God's love. That was there when I wasn't doing anything for him. It was not earned at all. And then when I came back from Spain, I kind of expected to pick up with old friendships where I had left off. However, being junior high, everyone kind of moved on, so I was alone again at King's. You guys, I don't know if any of you know where King's is. It was hard. And I was lonely a lot through junior high and freshman year, and part of sophomore year too. Sophomore year, I started a Bible study with a few girls and a teacher, and that was really good. There were a lot of us that were kind of looking for deeper friendships, and that was good. But at the same time, if I wasn't with them, and if I was with people I didn't really know, I was still really lonely and was kind of afraid of what would happen if I was myself with them. Would they reject me or whatever? And had a lot of self-esteem issues. And it's kind of continuing throughout my whole high school, of the senior year of, I have these really close friends and I really love them and they love me, but everyone else, it's kind of like, not feeling it so much. Throughout a lot of this was kind of me really wanting a romantic relationship, a boyfriend. I prayed a lot about that, but never really got one. I think I realize now, looking back, that it was, a lot of it was me crying to God to say, I want someone who I can be myself with, who I can be accepted by, and appreciated for who I was. But it really was a love that only God could give. And I think that, a lot of it, me not having a boyfriend, was kind of me being shy and like withdrawn and whatever. But I think God did protect me in a lot of ways from transferring my need for God's love to the need for from love from a guy. Prepositions are not working well today. So yeah, and then I moved to college. Good times. College is a place where there are people everywhere. I think I was pretty much always with people, but still kind of lonely. Yeah, I was pouring into a lot of people. I was loving them a lot, but I wasn't really feeling like I got anything back. Wasn't feeling love for who I was, and wasn't really feeling love from God. And I realized at the end of the year that my relationship with God had kind of died, almost. It was all but dead. And I did not feel loved by him at all. And I was really lonely, and I was needing God, and I was doing all these things for him, but I felt like I wasn't really getting anything back. Yeah, and I prayed a lot at the end of the year about this, because I kind of realized that Christianity isn't really worth it without receiving love from God, without that companionship and fulfillment we get from God's love. So yeah, I prayed a lot about that, and since then he's revealed a lot of himself to me. I felt very loved this summer by community and all that. But yeah, so I kind of tell you all about my loneliness and kind of whatever to say that I still do believe that God answers prayers for his love, and I do believe that he was answering my prayers for his love even in really dark times for me. I think it's a lot harder to say that. It's easy to say that now. Well, no, it's not. But when I was going through those times, it kind of was impossible almost to say, oh, I feel loved by God right now. You know, I'm really lonely, but I know God's here with me. Yeah, that was hard. But I think that if you learn anything from what I say today, I want you to learn that if you're open when you're lonely, I think that God does love you. He's sitting right there. A lot of times when I was lonely, he was sitting right there, and he was kind of being like, oh, I love you. But I was so focused on how lonely I was and how hard it was for me that I wasn't able to see that. So yeah, when I was remembering all this, kind of going through this passage, I remembered all this hurt I had experienced. So I was like, I don't really see God at all in that. And it was kind of scary because I was like, well, how can I really believe that God answers our prayers for his love after I've had a really hard time? But yeah, I was reading through the passage. I was like, well, I want to believe that God loves me, right? And I think he does. But it was hard to see how he did in that time. So I've been praying a lot that God would show me how he loved me in that time. And he's showed a lot of that to me. A few ways. You know, when I came back from Spain and I was lonely, I started being really close with my sister and got a lot of love out of that relationship. He did give me that great Bible study and those girls who were kind of in similar places as I was, who wanted to love and be loved. Yeah, and that was really neat. And in college, there was a girl on the rugby team that I was on and who was in InterVarsity, the Christian group at Stanford, who talked me through a lot of my really hard times and was there for me when I needed it, even though we didn't hang out on a regular basis. He brought me mentors who have poured God's love into me and who have listened to me and accepted me for who I am. And really who have been there in the hardest times in my life. And so, yeah, God really did show me a lot of his love in that way also. So, yeah, there are a lot of ways that God was faithful and that how he showed me his love in really hard times. And he made me realize that God will never leave us high and dry. He'll always give us enough love to sustain us. Yeah, and he won't leave us in situations that we can't handle. So, yeah, I'm going to kind of transition into actually talking about the passage and not just about myself. So this whole ask, seek, and knock thing, kind of weird. It almost sounds, to be honest, it's like, oh, there are three steps that you need to do and then God will answer your prayers. So I'm going to go through them. So asking, I think this is the easiest step for me in this whole thing. Asking doesn't really put me at any commitment to the person, or in this case, to God, that I'm asking. But yeah, faith is a relationship, and this is not to say that we have to do anything to earn God's love. because he loves us every step of the way. He loves us when we're lonely. He loves us when we're not, and when we're full of God's love. But sometimes there are things and situations that block our understanding of that love. So asking. The word that's used for asking in this passage is kind of more literally ask consistently and ask with perseverance. It's not like ask once and then you're done. You can pretty much wait for God. But it's constantly praying, constantly asking that God would reveal himself to you. I'm not very good at consistently praying, but I find that it really is neat to pray a lot. Because in that way, too, you're more aware of what you're asking for and ways that God may be answering your prayers. And God wants to hear about what's hard for us, and he wants to hear about our struggles because they're important to him. He cares about kind of every little detail of our lives. Ask with persistence. Seeking, I think this is a lot harder than asking. The hardest one for me, I think. I think a lot of it means not having an exact answer in mind when we pray for things. When I pray, I often have specific answers. You know, I'm praying for God's love. I think a lot of times in high school it's like, oh, well, God, if you love me, and if you, the way that you'll show me that you love me is by giving me a boyfriend, because then he will love me and I will see God's love through that. But what I didn't realize is that I was making God really small by doing this. I was limiting him to this one thing and this one way that he could answer my prayer. And I was kind of unwilling to allow him to have full reign in my life, and I was unwilling to be like, well, you can love me whichever way you want to, because whatever you want is the best for me. For a small time, he did that. He didn't necessarily show me ways that he was loving me in other ways, but he didn't do that for long. I kind of say all this to say that God really encouraged us to look around and be open to the ways that he may be wanting to love us and meet our needs. Seeking, the imagery that comes to mind for me with that is kind of running around the forest and like looking behind trees and under rocks and climbing trees to like get a better view and like swimming across rivers and whatever. So it's a very active process, right? And I think seeking often needs us to be courageous and kind of take steps of faith and put ourselves out there. And this could look like making an effort with new friends, going to things we wouldn't normally go to, being more honest with people that we know, going to events. Yeah, this is the opposite of what I often do when I'm lonely, which is kind of lock myself in my room and be like, God, I'm lonely, help. And I mean, sometimes he does use situations like that to kind of be very striking and really speak into our loneliness. But I think a lot of times what God wants us to do is seek out his love and trust that he will come through for us when we risk ourselves and when we put ourselves in situations where we are afraid. I think that a lot of what relationships mean are in that dynamic kind of trust and risk. I think, you know, we're not going to get closer to people if we don't risk telling them things about ourselves that are private and that could really used to hurt us. It's kind of different with God. You know, we can't do anything to earn his love. At the same time, we will understand his love so much better if we're willing to trust him with things that are hard for us. Example of this in my life, because that's pretty much all that I know. When God was answering my prayers about receiving his love in the beginning of the summer, he did it in very different ways than I thought he would. It was kind of through scripture, which I hadn't really been reading at all lately, or in the past. Well, I don't really read too much anyway, which I should. Never mind. He showed me a lot of his love through scripture, and through some people that I'd kind of written off as not being my type or kind of people who I wouldn't ever really be in close friendships with. But it was through them and it was through community with them that I really received God's love. So it took me to be willing and desperate enough for God's love to actually look in places where I wouldn't normally look to find God's love. And God, very much more than I expected, really met me there and really showed me his love. So I encourage you guys to put yourselves in situations where you may not feel safe or you may feel uncomfortable, because I think that God really does come through for us in the most striking and loving ways, because he does want to love us and he does want to have us trust him, but you know, that does take some courage on our part. So the last word in the sequence is knock. This is kind of less clear to me exactly what it means, but I think God's saying that he wants us to kind of get up in his face and be like, God, this is hard for me, and be honest about how frustrated we are and wrestle with him and pound on his door and vent to him about how hard things are. Knock on his door. I mean, that's not, I mean, when you're inside and someone's pounding on your door, it's not easy to ignore, right? I think God's saying that he wants us to be that excited about getting his love and that passionate and that willing to kind of be undignified and be put that much time into telling him how much you want his love. Something that I noticed that's not in this little part about asking, seeking, and knocking is doing. It doesn't say at the end of this, and after you ask, seek, and knock, you need to do all these things. You need to fulfill the Bible and pretty much be the perfect Christian, and then God will love you. You know, it doesn't say that. I think I live with that mindset for a long time, but it's really wrong, and it's really damaging, and it's pretty much against everything that God did for us. The point is that God loved us before we did anything, and he loves us, and there's nothing we can do to earn his love. This often prevented me from seeing God was because I was so focused on performing and on doing all these things for him that I wasn't able to just kind of sit back and be like, wow, you know, God is really good to me and God really loves me even though I'm not perfect. And there's no timeline in this passage either. It doesn't say after you ask, seek, and knock for 2 weeks, then God will answer your prayer. You know, it could be a really short time, it could be a really long time. Before God answers your prayers, but the fact is that he loves you even though it's hard sometimes, and he will be faithful. Moving on from that, the next part of the passage says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God always loves us, and he longs to give good gifts in answer to our prayers. But we do get in the way sometimes by being closed-minded or timid or by forgetting that faith is a dynamic relationship above everything else. And at the same time, he won't give us bad gifts. He won't give us things that are damaging and hurtful to us in our quest for love. I think a lot of these things are very person-specific. A bad gift for me, maybe a good gift for someone else, or vice versa. So if you want to talk more about that, come and talk to me. But some basic principles. The two examples of good and bad gifts that are put in this passage are stones instead of bread and snakes instead of fish. Giving a stone to a child instead of bread is bad, clearly. Because there's no nutrition in stones. It would hurt our teeth. And, it's pretty much bad. It doesn't give us any, kind of relating it to the heart thing. It won't give us any love and comfort, and will weigh us down. And, kind of be aware of ways that things could be stones in your life. And snakes, also. It could bite you. It could poison you and could die. Fish don't usually do that when they're dead and cooked. No, they don't. But, I think they're talking about live snakes in the passage. Snakes in respect to love, I think, are things that deceive us by kind of masquerading as things that kind of love us, but instead are using us. In reality do a lot more harm than good. Snakes, dangerous. Stones, bad. I don't know. God doesn't give us bad gifts. I think sometimes the things that we pray for when we're wanting love could end up being bad gifts, so that's why God doesn't give them to us, because they're unhealthy. I think something that's often perceived as a bad gift, but isn't necessarily, is loneliness. I think that one way that God loved me a lot was by letting me be lonely. And even though this was really hard, it helped me realize that God's love was the kind of love that I wanted. And it made me desperate, it made me long for God, and it made me depend on Him. I think that at times, I wasn't so sure that God's love was what I wanted, and I was more using God to kind of get love from where I really wanted it, which was from friends or from guys. And much of my loneliness was self-created, but I think God allowed me to continue in that so that I would learn that I actually do need Him. And that, just don't write off loneliness too fast as being awful, and, well, it is awful, actually. But God... God is often teaching us things through loneliness, so just be aware of what that could be. That's where I've learned a lot, is in loneliness. So the last section of this passage says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you," for this sums up the law and the prophets. So the "so" at the beginning of this passage is basically like "therefore." And as Joe would say, we ask, what is the "therefore, therefore"? The previous verses talk about God giving good gifts to children, to His children, and it's saying that God loves us and He wants to bless us. And because of this, we should love other people and do what they would want us, do what we would want them to do to us, to them. So, question, what do we want other people to do to us? Treat us with respect. Love us. Yay. Good job, Melissa. we wanted people to love us. It could come in very different, in many different forms, respecting us or hanging out with us or whatever. But we do want people to love us. And I think you can understand that what this verse is saying, you know, do unto others what you would have them do unto you, is really talking about loving other people and pointing them to God because of the little end thing. Because this is the law and the prophets. Kind of to summarize what that is talking about. The law only came after God rescued the Israelites from Egypt when they're in slavery, after they had been crying out to Him for a really long time. The law's purpose was to remind Israel of God's love for them and the covenant they had made with Him, and it kind of showed them how they could maintain a healthy and loving relationship with God. It also communicated to the Israelites how they were to love other nations and bring other nations to God, and kind of show how God did love them also. And it wasn't a set of rules that was made so people could fail and that God could punish them, but it was instead meant to be guidelines that would bring people closer to God. The law and the prophets are still very relevant, but kind of what's more important now is Jesus and how Jesus died for us. So we are kind of the new, but we are now the new temple of God. We are now the things that are meant to show God to people. We are meant to love people, and we are meant to point people to God. There's this quote from this book I read, Blue Like Jazz. You should all read it if you ever have it in our board. It says, "It is from other people that we learn whether or not we are lovable." And I think this is very true. I know this because oftentimes when I was lonely, standing in a corner or whatever, any kind of outreach that people, if people reached out to me and loved me and built relationships with me, it meant a lot. And it kind of did build self-esteem and just helped me understand how loved I was in God's eyes, if other people would love me. So I think our lives, basically as Christians, that's what we've committed to doing. We've committed to loving others in a way that points them to Christ. And it's not because we've done all these things, and it's not, we have to love people now because we're Christians. No, it's supposed to be because God loves us, and it's supposed to be because we receive love from God, that we have the resources and the energy and the desire to love people in a way that God would love them. What does this look like? As Christians, we're supposed to be mini Christ, right? And Jesus committed the ultimate act of love, which was dying on the cross for us. But not all of us can die on the cross to love other people. So what are some practical ways that we can love in the way that Christ loved? Any thoughts? I guess not. All right. So some ways that Christ loved us, and I think that we can practically do to people around us, are loving kind of without any expectations of being loved back. I think it's really surprising to people when you love them even though they don't necessarily do anything for you or love you back or even nice to you back. I think Jesus did this a lot with people. He loved unconditionally no matter what people did back to him. He wasn't selective about the people he loved. He loved everyone, whether they were high in social status or very low and kind of dirty and gross. And he loved, pretty much everyone. And I think he calls us to do the same thing, is to love people who may not have very many friends, whose society may say, those people aren't cool, don't hang out with them, don't love them, because it'll bring your reputation down. And at the same time, God calls us to love people who are popular or whatever, and who I think a lot of times Christians write them off as being too far gone to ever accept God's love and to ever accept Christ, but that's definitely not true. God loves them a lot, and they often need God's love and are looking for God's love more than a lot of people are. So I encourage you guys to love people kind of purely and without expectation of getting anything back. I encourage you to ask God for his love so that you can understand what it means to be loved by God and in turn be able to love people with more relevance and by pointing them to God. We are all, as Christians, no exceptions, meant to love each other because we are vessels of God's love. I don't know why God chose people to tell people that God loved them. I think we mess up a lot, but I think we can also do a lot of good. As you're starting this school year, some of you are going off to college, there are a lot of lonely people. There are a lot of people that need love. I know we see them every day and often don't even look or don't even kind of give them a second thought, but I encourage you to show them God's love. Do little things. Don't be selective. This group, I think, has great potential of being a place where God's love fills everyone and where everyone loves each other. I've seen that a lot this summer, and I think that it's been growing a lot. And it's okay to keep each other accountable with loving people. I don't know exactly what that would look like, but it's okay to be like, hey, what are you doing? You're not loving people, because that's our call as Christians. And that's kind of, that's pretty much why Christianity exists, is so that people will be loved and that we can point people to God and that we be loved by God. That's pretty much all I have for today. I have a little thing that I found online to read to you guys that kind of more relates to the first part of the passage about God answering prayer, often in ways that we don't expect it, and God loving us in ways that we don't necessarily look for immediately. So I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to close this in prayer. It says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoiled prayers were answered. I, among all men, most richly blessed. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your love. I thank you that we don't have to earn it. But God, sometimes it's really hard to see your love in our lives, and sometimes it's hard to even think that you love us. Sometimes it seems like a slap in the face to hear that you love us when things are really hard. Lord, I ask that you might just reveal to all of us in new ways what your love looks like and how much you love us. I pray that we would be seeking your love, that we might find it. Help us not to be closed-minded. Help us not to make you small, but I pray that we might just be aware of the many ways that you reveal your love to us. God, I pray for all the people who are lonely and who have been lonely this morning. God, I just pray that you would comfort them and that you would show them how good your love is. Lord, I pray that they would just understand that you love them the way they are. It doesn't really matter what they do or how perfect they may look in the eyes of others, but what matters is that you love us. God, I just pray for this group also. Help them to love each other. Help them to love each other in ways that point them to you. Help them to have your love to come back to you when their love may not be well received. God, I thank you for the ways that they already do love each other. Pray that they would continue to do so. And Lord, I just thank you for everyone here, and I thank you that you do love them. I thank you that you love me. I really don't deserve it, but you do anyway. I pray. Amen.